This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
True North Stores beverage clubs just got bigger. Buy 6 Celsius, Pure Leaf Tea, Starbucks Energy, or Pepsi 1-liter flavors and get the 7th free. Whether you're craving an energy boost or just something to quench your thirst, we've got the drink for you. As a True Rewards member, sip and save with our clubs when you buy 6 and get the 7th free. Download now from your favorite app store for more details. True North Convenience Stores and True Rewards. Fast, friendly, clean.
Hey, it's Jim Costa with Cash the Ticket. Mike Valeni and I are all over the tournament again this March. Breakdowns of every region and every game, who are the Cinderellas, and which team's cutting down the nets. Subscribe and listen to Cash the Ticket on the Odyssey app, wherever you get your podcasts.
Here's the man that you fear most in football staring you right in the face.
Mark Grody.
I call him a maniac. Stone maniac.
Covering the Bears for 670 The Score.
You had to overcome the mystique. It was almost like an odor. He exuded a kind of a presence.
Co-host of the Take the North podcast.
His whole damn life was football. Wasn't driving a pretty car. Wasn't going to the local bar and pounding your chest, I'm the greatest. It was the opposite.
Mark Grody.
He was Moby Dick in a goldfish bowl.
Mark Grody with Spiegel and Holmes on 670 The Score.
Yeah, buddy. Mark Grody is here joining us on the Circa Resort and Casino Hotline, CircaLasVegas.com. Groats, we appreciate you, man, because look, you hosted the morning show today. You gave us incredible drops of you singing Metallica, which was incredible. Top-notch stuff. You went out to Hallis Hall, and now aren't you hosting tomorrow too?
I am hosting in the morning tomorrow, and there is a late-night Blackhawks game, and Haw is a big hockey guy, so he's going to be watching. So this is really pushing me, Lawrence.
You got to tell him limits. To cut it out.
You ain't my bitch.
You let David watch that hockey game.
Yeah, that's on him. Blackhawks is on him tomorrow.
I think you're right. I was like, I got the Bulls. I got the Bulls covered. Bulls are early tonight, yes? Or are they 7?
Yes. No, they're. I think they're 7. Yep, 7 o'clock.
Yeah. 7 o'clock. Sorry about that.
DePaul is at 6.
DePaul's at 6. Bulls at 7. Blackhawks later. Grody all the time. Big pile of Grody.
That's right.
Bears.
Wait, so hold on, that's you and Dustin singing Metallica together this morning?
That's just how it worked out. Yeah, oh. Dustin.
Ripping your pillow tail.
If you guys need an opening act, Speegs, I mean, I'm ready to move on from reading the news to actually being your hype man. I mean, I think Dustin and I could do some really good things for Tributosaurus.
Were you singing the right words, or was Dustin singing the right words, and who was singing the wrong words there?
Oh, I'm why people have written books about mispronounced lyrics, or just wrong, I should say.
There was a book called "Excuse Me While I Kiss This Guy."
Yes,
that's it.
Mm-hmm.
Yes,
big old.
That would be me. This has been a problem I've had since childhood.
Yeah,
my older brother has been yelling at me since I was a child about my getting lyrics wrong. So that was on brand for me, for better or for worse.
So were you sleeping with one eye open as Dustin was gripping his pillow tight? Is that what that was?
Down.
Man, it's tremendous. Big old Chet had a lighter. Big old Chet had a lighter.
Oh, yeah. Very good.
Yeah, man.
Very good. A whole book of them.
All right, Groats. Well, you know, you're killing it. And today you got a chance for more Bears as they introduce the center and the defensive end.
That is correct, Spiegel. It's been kind of a unique situation where in back-to-back days we get general manager and head coach up there and, you know, taking a few questions and essentially introducing these guys and getting out of the way for, indeed, Dio Dangbo and Drew Dalma. Good to see both of these guys guys here. Let's start. I've got a cut from each of these guys. And Odangbo, very interesting. You know, I was talking about on the morning show today with David Haw about how, you know, you're taking a little bit of a chance on Odangbo because the most sacks he's had in his career was 8. In his four-year career so far. I asked Ryan Poles about it, and then I took that question to Odangbo here eventually. We'll get into that in a second. But first, Odangbo had some communication today with our guy. It's Montez Sweat.
Yeah, I FaceTimed with him today, actually, earlier today. He was training with one of my teammates out in from Indy, out in Pensacola. So, yeah, they called me today, got on the phone a little bit, texted a little bit.
Which guy?
Grover Stewart.
Yeah. In terms of your game, and I was asking about the sack numbers to Ryan Poles, and he said, put on the tape, he does so much more. But how do you respond to that? Is that part of your game that you want to see, obviously, more of the sack numbers?
Yeah, I mean, everybody wants more sacks. You know, that's the one number, that, how they value D-linemen, so... You know, but I think anyone who's around football knows that a D-lineman's job is a lot bigger than just the sack number. And you can affect the quarterback in more ways. You know, sure, Coach Johnson would prefer a forced interception over a sack, but that doesn't show up in your sack, you know, category. So those are the type of things that help the team win that don't necessarily show up in the stat sheet in that sense. So, you know, that's a big part of my game. But, yeah, I definitely want to see my sack numbers increase. And, you know, that just comes with, you know, growth and, you know, just sticking to the plan.
How would you describe your game and your personality when you take the field?
I would say relentless. That'd be my biggest thing. You know, I don't want to ever stop chasing after the ball, chasing after the quarterback, making plays for the team. You know, full effort, you know, bringing energy to the team on the sideline and on the field. So I would definitely describe my game as relentless.
So, you know, let's be honest about something that hasn't come up. And I think it's fairly obvious just from a statistical perspective. But judging a defensive lineman by sack numbers
is incomplete.
It's ridiculous.
It should be like the first thing that you look at.
Sure.
But it shouldn't be the only thing
you got to go deeper. It's like only looking at home run total over a buck 62. We've gotten smart enough to look at exit velocity. We've gotten smart enough to look at slugging percentage, you know, to look at percentage things. And we've gotten, even in hockey, just looking at goals. No, you look at scoring opportunities. So you look at Corsi, and you look at stuff like that. You got to look at pass rush win rate, you know?
Pressures
and things like that to really find out because...
And then you have to...
It's a crazy thing.
Statistically, I do think that it's important to try and marry some of these things. So you can also just kind of look at tape of the player and see, is this player winning battles? Are they beating doubles? Now, you do want the production. Like, I don't want to act like getting the quarterback on the ground is not important.
No, it is. And we'd be praising if it's 16, 17 sacks, we'd be praising, and he'd be getting a lot more money. But, like, you know, sacks are, they can sometimes be, there can be a happenstance factor. Just like there's a puck luck factor, you know, and things like that. There can be that. I'm interested in Ryan Poles saying, just watch the tape, you know.
Yeah.
If you watch the tape, you're going to see a lot more stuff.
Yeah, but do we really have that? What you guys said is all correct and very disciplined on your part, but I'll use that word again. Do we actually have the discipline? Have we ever had the discipline to grade a defensive end and say, oh, that's okay. He's only got 6 sacks. Look at all the other things he's doing. No. We're going to be saying, how come he doesn't have more sacks? Why can't this guy get to double-digit sacks? So I hope that we could look at him that way, but when have we ever done that for any Bears players? Giving Montez Sweat, you could talk about all the things he does, but if he's not getting 10 sacks a year considering what he is paid, we're not going to look at all the other peripheral statistics.
I would argue that if you watched the games and watched the tape on Montez Sweat, he was disappointing last year irrespective of the sack total. You know what I mean? Like I felt like, obviously the sack total is there, but if you actually watched the games and saw the breakdowns,
yeah,
you'd be disappointed as well. He had a rough year.
He did not make many plays last year. You're right. I mean, not enough, you know, tackles for loss, not enough disruption, not enough quarterback hits. all of that kind of stuff. I just have a hard time. I hope you guys are right, and what you guys said was spot on. I don't know if we can, especially since it's been a while since there has been two legitimate guys rushing the quarterback. Can we actually look at Odangbo and say that's okay, what you have done for the Bears, what you're providing, the disruption that you are providing? And maybe, you know, maybe the effect of Grady Jarrett and Odangbo will wake up to a different guy. Actually, that's the wrong way to put it with Jervon Dexter. I think he has gotten better in his 2 years here, but maybe affects him more.
Jervon is another guy where the sack total doesn't tell the whole story.
Oh, 100%. Oh, yeah, especially the interior guys for sure, Lawrence. Yeah, I never look at that. It's unbelievable when you can find an Aaron Donald type who gets to the quarterback. That's why he is considered one of the greatest defensive players of all time. This is a guy from the interior getting to – if a guy could do that, that's about as special of a talent that exists. But from that end spot, I always feel like more is going to be expected, no matter what the tape says, no matter what the peripherals say.
I heard a great Aaron Donald story.
Was it one from Wani about the light being on?
No, it was a Matthew Stafford story. He may have been on the pivot, but he was saying how they were at the facility and there was a Make-A-Wish kid who had beaten cancer and he loved Aaron Donald. And Aaron Donald's like, man, this is great. Come and work out with me. And Stafford was like, just like rolling his eyes because he knew what was getting ready to happen because Aaron Donald doesn't go half speed.
Yeah.
So this kid from Make-A-Wish ends up throwing up because he's working out so hard with Aaron Donald. Aaron Donald's like, I mean, yeah, like this is what we do. This is how we get down. Huh. So he didn't take it easy on the kid that beat cancer. He didn't take it easy on him at all. He's got him throwing up in a bucket over there.
Just ain't right, man.
That's awesome.
And I think I actually heard that. I think it was on the Midday Show. And of course, immediately Bernstein says, oh boy, I hope that there was some sort of liability insurance there. He threw up. Yeah, I'm sure
hey, as somebody
else, I think it was Layla who said so he probably had to sign something.
Sure. Well, you know, nothing lights up the sports radio phone lines like liability insurance. You know what I mean? That really gets the crowd going.
What about Drew Dalman? You think he can get this crowd going, Speaks? I mean, you're a former center, man.
Thanks for pointing that out. No, we enjoyed Drew Dalman, and we're going to talk to Drew Dalman tomorrow at 4 o'clock right here.
Sick.
On this radio show. But you tell us what you liked from Drew Dalman when he spoke to you guys off to the side, Groats.
Yeah, well, I mean, the first thing that I will say is, again, when he walks into the room, I'm still feeling relief for the sake of the Bears in terms of, you know, that this is, you know, Coleman Shelton was fine last year. We talked about that a lot, but this is a legitimate guy. This is a top five center in the National Football League. With all the issues the Bears have had at center in the last 5 or 6 years, it's still nice to see him and to think about what him, Jonah Jackson, and Joe Tooney are going to do on that inside. Let me play a little bit of Drew Dalman here, and keep in mind that he has worked with a lot of different quarterbacks in his time in Atlanta: Michael Penix, Matt Ryan, Marcus Mariota, Kirk Cousins. So all different types, rookies, veterans, which again probably portends well for him working with this fresh quarterback and Caleb Williams. Here is Dalman on that versatility of different quarterbacks.
Yeah, I feel like it really emphasizes, you know, there's a ton of importance placed on quarterback. That's not surprising, but there's 10 other guys out there that can help and make things easier. And so I think when you go through those changes, it really emphasizes, all right, what can each individual do to help with the whole unit and help the whole thing run smoothly? So I feel like that kind of process of self-evaluation, what can I do to help? What can I do to help the team, the unit, individual players, that kind of thing, is definitely top of mind. So I think that that'll be something that we'll work on, and it's kind of business as usual as for any offense is learning, like, how can they optimize and be better.
Do you anticipate being the vocal leader in the room?
I feel like my style is often, I feel like I have to prove myself and prove that my process works, and that I'm a good teammate and a good person and all those things before that even begins to enter my mind. And then you also just the dynamics of the room. Like, I'm entering a room as a stranger, and so I got to forge all those relationships and things like that. So I think it'll play out how it plays out, but I'll just focus on the things that approaching the game in a way that I know is respectable and effective and good, and and will help me kind of ingratiate myself with those guys.
Drew, how do you, obviously it's new to you because you're new to the Bears, but yeah. It's also phase one of Ben Johnson, and it's a lot of new offensive linemen coming into it.
Yeah. I guess, yeah, it's helpful that everybody's in the same boat, you know, at least from my perspective. If you're joining something established, there's probably a sense of trying to get to speed, and I definitely felt that when I was joining with the Falcons and everything. And so I think it's fun that we're all in the same boat, we're all learning together, we're all growing together, and we're all trying to figure out what it looks like for us, you know.
Drew Dahlman.
And they're not a bunch of rookies. That's why I like to. I mean, I love the idea of these three guys coming in together to figure it out. And it always sounds fun to say, oh, the three rookies are coming in together. You know, last year, Caleb and Roma Dunze. But to have three veteran guys coming in together that can figure it out together and help everybody else on that line, I love that part.
Me too. I like that now you have a full veteran offensive line. And you have an ascending, you know that you have an ascending right tackle in Darnell Wright. The left tackle spot is still a thing. So even if they end up with a rookie left tackle, I'm probably okay with it because of the experience on the rest of the line. But it was interesting how even yesterday you heard Ben Johnson kind of give an endorsement of Braxton Jones at the left tackle spot. So I'm with you. I like the idea that there are some veteran savvy that you can put together, and there isn't the learning on the job is everyone learning instead of learning how to play football at the professional level.
Guys, we have some breaking news, and breaking news on The Score is brought to you by Wildfire. Join Wildfire Restaurants as they celebrate 30 years of serving delicious food and creating memories. The Bears have signed a wide receiver, and it is Olamide Zaccheaus, the former Washington Commander. Former Eagle before that, spent 4 years in Atlanta before that, all of those with Dan Quinn. So Dan Quinn has gone out and gotten him twice. And Olamide Zaccheaus had a pretty nice year last year. It was his best year as a pro, most productive year as a pro. There was a moment where, because of injuries, he was kind of the main dude down the stretch in December for Washington and led them in targets for a couple of weeks in a row. But Olamide Zaccheaus is the wide receiver signee for the Bears here 72 hours or so after the opening of free agency. And, you know, it's Grody. It's interesting. We talked about guys like Tyler Lockett and Tim Patrick and Josh Reynolds, those last two former Detroit Lions. Olamide Zaccheaus, the former Commander, now set to be a Bear. I'm sure on a nice bargain contract, a dude on the rise, willing and capable blocker, almost 200 pounds and a physical guy.
We were just talking, Dweeter and I were just doing a taping of the Take the North podcast, which will drop tomorrow morning. And the last thing that we discussed was, okay, other needs. And number one is more wide receivers. So, and a veteran one at that. We discussed, for whatever it's worth, we talked about that, you know, unless Keenan Allen has signed while I've been on the air, that is still out there. And we'll see how patient the Bears will be, or if Keenan Allen, who said that he would either want to go to the Bears or back to the Chargers, that's what they need. The Bears still need veteran presence in that wide receiver room other than DJ Moore. I mean, you still have Roma Dunze, who I think is a ascending player as well. I think that he could look a lot different this year, but you still need sure wide receivers who, as I said on the podcast, know exactly what they're doing on a football field.
I mean, maybe there'll be another one. Could be another veteran wide receiver
I would not be surprised, Speaks. I would not be surprised.
Right, but I mean, this is a guy who's willing. He's not going to worry about how many targets he gets as the number three. Keenan Allen, I think, would be worried about how many targets he gets as the number three. And this is a year where Rome's going to be the guy on a team that's going to run the ball an awful lot. You know,
well, everybody was going to have 1,000 yards last year. Remember that, Speaks? It was like the race to 1,000.
Yeah.
DJ, Rome.
There's a lot going on there.
That didn't age well.
It's fine, though. It's a whole different ball game now, and this is a better choice. Groats, get some sleep.
I'm going to try. Actually, the funny part about it is I'm about to go in the newsroom. My buddy Carmen is out there. We're going to go watch the Bulls game. So wait a minute. So I am getting in my fancy car and going to sit up at a bar here in just a little bit.
There
so
it is.
Wrong about
are you going to tell people you're the best? You know, beating his chest. You're going to beat your chest. Tell people you're the best.
I'm going to beat my chest. Yeah, I'm going to do all that stuff. I am fancy, as it turns out. Yes,
the open is dead. Open is dead. We'll get a different one next time.
Bye, guys.
Thanks, Mark.
Mark Grody does an incredible job doing anything that we ask of him here at The Score. Tomorrow morning, he will be on Mully and Haw, sitting in for Mully, and he continues to, and who knows if the Bears, maybe they'll throw another press conference.
They could. Well, I mean, for Olamide's,
sure.
Olamide.
Yeah.
Excuse me, Olamide.
I wonder if he goes by Ola. That's an interesting question for him. He had a fumble in the game that they played against the Bears.
Oh, yeah, he did have a fumble in that game, yeah.
And then, of course, things went haywire and the Bears lost.
No, I don't know what you're talking about. That game,
you don't remember that game?
No, there was a failed Hail Mary. And
they won. They were 5-2 after that.
They were 5-2. And
they went to the playoffs.
They won 10 in a row. Matt Eberflus still the coach.
Won the Super Bowl.
I remember it well.
All that stuff. While the segment was going on, I reached out to our friend Steven Nelson.
The Dodgers play-by-play voice.
Yeah, Chicago's very own. And I reached out to him on Instagram because I didn't know if, you know, phones don't always work internationally.
Uh-huh.
And he texted me and he's like, hey, because I said, hey, how about tomorrow you come on because it's about 7:22 there. And he's like, do you mean tomorrow as in Friday? Because it's already Friday here. And I was like, you're up? And he's like, yeah. So he's going to join us.
Let's check in Japan and bring that global event closer to us.
Yes, Chicago's very own Steven Nelson, Dodgers play-by-play man, is going to join us to talk about this trip to Tokyo next.
Spiegel and Holmes.
Joe Buck, do you know that Spiegs is doing ads for a hair treatment that he doesn't need?
The idea of you doing any sort of hair restoration thing makes me gag. Now, good for you. Yeah. It's all in the name of commerce, and I tip my cap. That's hiding my thin hair.
I haven't seen you on
Afternoons on The Score.